I just saw Dwayne King's name flash across up there, which reminds me to tell you something. First of all, you'll remember that we had Dwayne King's name in the bulletin for the 14th of January. And then all of a sudden it disappeared out of the bulletin. Now, that wasn't because the eraser accidentally moved. That's because I found out that Dwayne can't come then. In fact, Dwayne right now is in Africa. I'm not sure how long he's staying, but right now he's over in Africa where his son is a missionary and serving the Lord. Those of you who have followed Dwayne at all know that earlier this year his wife Carolyn went home to be with the Lord. And many years ago, he either said 43 or 47, I think maybe said 47 years ago, Carolyn led a young lady to the Lord. And she went off to Alaska Bible College and learned to be a pastor's wife. And she and her husband ministered for many, many years. And her husband died, I think Dwayne said, 5 years ago. Well, anyhow, after Carolyn's funeral, she let it be known to Dwayne, if he ever thought about remarriage, she wanted to be considered. They will be married in April down in Glen Castle, Pennsylvania. Is that a place? Out near Pittsburgh? Yeah. So sometime before then, he said he will get to us. And we will have Dwayne on a Sunday night probably. And I love Dwayne. Dwayne is the guy God used to put Derek and Jenny in UConn. Yeah, he sent Fred to Russia a couple times. A couple times Fred got to go to Russia. And, have you ever done anything with Dwayne, Art?
No.
Nope. Brother Durr, you have. No? But you certainly know him. And of course, Roland, he spent many years with Dwayne in church off and on. We love Dwayne. And Dwayne has had a tremendous ministry with airplanes and training men and women not only to fly those little airplanes all over the north, and now into Russia, and we took on Dwayne's ministry called Kingdom Air Corps, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, especially their ministry in Russia. He talks people out of airplanes every place he goes or tries to, and every once in a while, God lets one get broke loose from its present place and given to Dwayne, and some cases he has to fix them up in order to fly him back to Alaska, where his base of operation is. But Dwayne's a fantastic missionary. And he's the one that said to Derek and to me, he said, where would Derek and Jen want to go if they could go any place to serve the Lord? I said, Alaska. He said, what makes them think that that is what God wants to do? You see, some people feel that if you let him take over your life, he'll make you do something you don't want to do. And that's not usually the case. You let God take charge of your life, and you'll end up doing what you want to do, but for the Lord. And that's why Derek and Jenny are in the far north. Now, they're not in Alaska, but when you're in Tesla and Yukon, you couldn't tell the difference. There's snow-capped mountains, there's that huge lake that they live on, there's fishing, there's flying. Derek has flown more than his dad has ever flown in those little airplanes. By God's grace, they always come back. So that's why Dwayne is not on our schedule anymore, but he will be. He'll get back in touch, or his secretary, Pam, will get in touch with me one of these days and say, Dwayne can come on such and such, and I'll do my best to make sure that's open and free for him. Well, that has nothing to do whatsoever. Has nothing to do whatsoever with our subject at hand. The Christian in full armor, and you know where our starting point is over in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're going to be all over the place, but we're just going to go back there and establish our roots, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10 and down to verse 12. In fact, I'm going to read the whole thing. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word wiles, you know, means scheming, trickery. You've all experienced that, haven't you? So have I, many times. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore. And understand that that's not redundant, putting two stands together. That comma, it gives it the meaning. Having done all to stand, here you are, fully equipped, like my picture of my guy up there. See, he's fully equipped. But if he doesn't stand his ground, what good's all that equipment? What good's all the armor? What good's all the protection? So having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having girded your waist or your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now that is the armor. But notice there has to be something else. And I don't know what you want to call it. I call it the resource. Praying always with all prayer. Now remember, the word prayer means asking and supplication. That goes to begging in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. This is Paul speaking, remember? But any preacher can make himself that me. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, great Father, help us to understand the enemy that we have, the protection and armor that you provide, and the power that is given to us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Help us, Father, to understand our enemy, but help us to understand more than that our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless your people that are gathered here tonight with a special blessing. And I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We have looked at the place of the provision. And I'll put them up there very quickly. And we looked at the power of the provision. It's the Lord. My power is in the Lord. And then the practicality of the provision. I'm identified with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And the power that God used to raise him from the dead is the power that God uses to enable us to stand against the wiles and the tricks of Satan and all of his dirty demons. We talked about the power of the enemy. And when we talked about the power of the enemy, we noted the power over the people through the flesh, the old sin nature, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has power over people through sin. When you and I sin, we open the door for Satan's demons to come and work and connect with our old sin nature. And then Satan has power over people through his demons. And we talked about the fact that his demons are fallen angels. And we gather from that passage in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4 or 5 or whatever it is there, that he took a third of God's angels with him in his rebellion when he was kicked out of heaven. So he has all of those angels as his servants, and they are doing the dirty deeds of the devil, whereas once upon a time they did the holy deeds of the Savior and God the Father. Now, people ask the question, how do we know that Satan really exists? And so last week we talked about that. We talked about evidences based on the scriptures. What does the Bible teach? Well, in 7 books of the Old Testament, Satan is mentioned by name. He's either called Satan or the devil. And Lucifer, as we're going to see in a few moments. In the New Testament, every single book, all 27 in the New Testament, have some reference to the devil, some in great detail, as we're going to see. So what is Satan really like? Isn't that the real question? What is Satan really like? Well, we noted last week that he had intelligence. He has emotions. He has intellect, and all of those things make up his personality. Now, he is incredibly proud. He is so proud, in fact, that he refuses to believe that he's going to get thrown into hell, even though he knows every word in this Bible. He knows what God says is going to happen to him, but he's cocky enough to think he can get away without ever having to pay the piper. Well, he's going to pay the piper. Would you turn with me tonight to Ezekiel? That's just before Daniel. It's right after Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. That'll help you find it. Now, believe it or not, in my Bible, it comes just about in the middle. But I know most people say, well, Psalms is in the middle. And the middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8. Except somebody else counted and said, no, it's verse 7. So I don't know. But it's somewhere in Psalm 118 is the middle of the Bible as far as the number of verses from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All right, you have finally found Ezekiel. Now look with me at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And I'm going to say right off the bat that the things that are said here are said both about the devil and a person who may well be alive on planet Earth at this very moment. Some of these verses that we're going to read tonight can be quoted as talking about Satan, but they can also be used to talk about the Antichrist. that is coming and that already is here upon planet Earth. We just don't know who it is, but God does. And of course the devil does, because he's been grooming him. That's why some of these verses can be talking about either or both. All right, I'm ready to start with verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of Man. And that is a term that God uses throughout the book of Ezekiel to talk about Ezekiel. God calls him Son of Man. Now, when you go in the New Testament and in the Gospels and you read about the Son of Man, that's talking about Jesus Christ. But here, Jesus Christ is talking to Ezekiel and calling Ezekiel Son of Man. Son of Man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God. Now, who in the world is the king of Tyre? It is probably Antichrist, but Antichrist is empowered by demons doing the devil's work, and so you could say it's the devil. And we're going to read it both ways and tell you to consider both things. Take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Now, where is Tyre? Tyre is on the seacoast on the country of Lebanon. And Lebanon is just above Israel. And it's just a tiny strip between Mediterranean Sea and Syria. And at one time, they were called Christian, something like America's called a Christian nation. Lebanon was a Christian nation. Now, they weren't all Baptist, understand. They were various forms of Christian, and some which doesn't necessarily mean they were born again, but they were Christian. They followed Christian religions. So it was considered a Christian country. Today it's totally Muslim. Any Christian that is still left there is doing so in secret, because the Muslims have taken over and killed off all the Christians, at least all that will identify themselves as Christian. So Tyre is now a city that is totally given to the Muslim people. Here's what God says to this person. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald with the gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Is it any wonder that Eve would be taken in by such a beautiful creature who's covered with jewelry and whose very movements make music? Now, I don't know if you ever connected this verse with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But God does. So God here is describing to you the serpent that deceived Adam and Eve. Think about that for just a moment. Goes on to say, you were the anointed cherub who covers. Now I'm sure that I do not know what that phrase means. But I do know what a cherub is. That's the name of the angels of God. They are called cherubim. The I-M-M is plural. So we would say in English, cherubs, plural. He is the anointed cherub. In other words, he had a special position among God's angels. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. How could a perfect angel become full of iniquity? The answer is this: pride goeth before a fall. Satan, because of his high position among the angels, became puffed up with pride. Now, we're going to come right back here. But before we do, keep your finger there and go with me to Isaiah 14. Because we're going to put these two things together. Isaiah 14. Twice 14 is 28. Ezekiel is two books after Isaiah. Will that help you to remember? Isaiah 14, and then two books later, 2 times 14 is 28, Ezekiel. Both are talking about this same person. Verse 12 of Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yet, God says, "You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the pit, the lowest depths of the pit." Wow. You think that he's going to get away with it? God says no. By the way, have I answered the question, is there really a devil? Yes. His name originally was Lucifer. Today he's called Satan. He's called the devil. He's called the red dragon. All of those are in one verse over in chapter 12 of Revelation. Now I'm back over in Ezekiel chapter 28 at verse 16. Now here's why we think this is not only talking about Lucifer, the Satan, the fallen angel, but it's also talking about Antichrist. Both are being described in verse 16 and on. "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God." Remember in the other place we read that he was in the mountain of God? "I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you." When will that take place? At the end of the tribulation. It will happen for Satan, it will happen for the Antichrist, and it will happen for the Antichrist associate pastor that we call the false prophet. Those two guys will work together and do the dastardly deeds of the devil during those 7 years of the tribulation period. And he said, "I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuary by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst, it devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth." Now, is he talking about the devil there or the Antichrist? Well, if you go to another passage, and I don't have the reference for that, it says that when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation, that he will speak and the brightness of his glory will dissolve the flesh right off the bones of these guys. So there he's talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet and all of the horde of armies that are with them when they come to attack God's city, Jerusalem, on that great day of the Armageddon. And we've talked about that in some detail. So have I answered your question? Let me put some more things up here. He's a spirit being. He's called a cherub. He's called the highest created angel. He still has great power, and he is God's arch enemy and ours. Now, there's some more references up there, and you could look at them. But I am going to jump to my last point tonight because I want to finish this. Here are some names and what they mean. First of all, he is called Satan. And you can look with me at that reference, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Sometime later this week, all of my outline will be on the internet, wherever Matt and Barb end up putting that stuff. It's on the church website. It's under sermons. And you go there, look, and you'll find these notes. I've already given them to Barb on her computer. And tomorrow, God willing, she gets her computer back from the repair shop and will be back in business. Satan, which means adversary. Now, what's an adversary? That's somebody that's against you, somebody that's fighting against you, someone that's trying to block your progress. He is called an adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I went right on by it. Did you find it yet? How many found it? Everybody but the preacher. That sounds normal. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And of course, I like the next verse with that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. My friend, that verse has never been truer than it is right now. Christians are being put to death all over this world on a daily basis. That is not evangelistically speaking. That is the absolute truth. And we Christians here in America, unless some dingbat comes through the door with a machine gun, we just sit comfortably in our pews, not realizing the number of Christians that died today for their faith around the world. In most every country. And yes, sometimes in our own, like those dear folks, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago in Texas? You wonder why I wore my big, tall Texas hat today. Because I'm just thinking about those Texas Rangers that had to deal with that gruesome situation. And all of those family members that mourned the loss of their loved ones because they went to church. We are making basic safety precautions here. You just never know. There's no warning when somebody goes crazy or some Muslim extremist decides it's time to eradicate a bunch of people. And you say that guy out there in Las Vegas that mowed down hundreds of people. You say, well, was he a Muslim? He didn't have to be. What causes Muslim extremists to do what they do? Satan. What caused that guy to do what he did? Satan. And don't you can't say he snapped. He made great preparation for what he did. And the same thing down there at Sutherland Springs in Texas. Satan is our adversary. Secondly, the devil is a slanderer. That's what the word devil means. It means slanderer. Now, what does the devil slander? He slanders God. He slanders the Christian faith. He slanders you. He says bad things about you to God. You say, well, he can't go back to heaven, can he? Have you read the book of Job lately? Bible says that he can appear in heaven at any time and accuse you and accuse me. He's the accuser of the brethren. He slanders. Look over, I keep referring you to Revelation chapter 12. So let's look once again at Revelation chapter 12, and we'll cover a bunch of bases all at one time. Starting at verse 3, Revelation 12, 3, and another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. Now you say, what are those about? Those are the kingdoms that the Bible talks about, starting with the Egyptian kingdom and going all the way through to the present day. And we're not going to get into them tonight, but those are those kingdoms that are described in the Word of God. You read about them in the book of Daniel and other places. But notice it says that he is a fiery red dragon. Verse 4 says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them down to the earth. Obviously, we're not talking about twinkle, twinkle, little star. We're talking about angels. You have to do a little homework, but you'll figure that out. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman is Israel, or specifically Virgin Mary. Stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, talking about Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Well, that covers a lot of territory, doesn't it, in those two verses. Now, we go down a little bit further. War broke out in heaven. Verse 7, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. When is Satan finally kicked out of heaven once and for all? The beginning of the tribulation, I think. I don't know if anybody agrees with me, but sometime in that time frame, Satan is kicked out of heaven either at the beginning of the tribulation or at the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist takes over the newly built temple in Israel, in Jerusalem, and establishes it as his headquarters. That's right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation period. Notice a little bit further. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, that's one name, called the devil, that's another name, and Satan, that's another name. So he's called a dragon, a serpent, a devil, and Satan. And then it says, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now there's a few names for you. Here's another one. Evil one. You don't have to go back too many pages to come to 1 John, right? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, or the evil one, depending on which translation you have. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he is called the tempter. Have any of you ever been tempted? Really? I have. Trouble is, I sometimes capitulate to him too. Chapter 3, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. That's called the pastor's lament. The pastor's lament is seeing God's people fall away. I was told that when I leave, whenever that is, that there are some people who won't come to church anymore here. Shame on you. You don't come to church for a preacher. You come to church to worship the Lord, I hope. Amen. And if you are thinking of cutting and running, get your act together, folks. Get right with God. You better be in church to worship the Lord, not Pastor Dan or Pastor Scott or anybody else. You're here to worship Jesus Christ. And all us preachers' job is to help you to do that. And I have done my best, and Brother Scott is doing his best. And let's keep on the firing line. When I was a kid, we had two ladies that often sang special music on Sunday nights. And one of the songs that Betty and Priscilla sang was Keep on the Firing Line. I don't remember all the words, but I do remember the tune. Keep on the Firing Line. And that's a message for you and for me. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44. He's also known as the murderer. Now, who said that the devil was a murderer? Anybody know? When you find John chapter 8, verse 44, and look at the context, you'll know who said that the devil is a murderer. And the thing is, notice why he said it. I'm going to start at verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication, implying that Jesus was born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from my God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you were not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Now, who was Jesus saying all this to? The religious leaders in Jerusalem, the high priest and the Pharisees and their cohorts. And Jesus looks them right in the eye and he says, you're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who's the first person that Satan murdered? Abel? Anybody hear of Abel? Why was Abel murdered? Because the devil put it into the heart of Cain to kill his brother out of jealousy. Because God accepted Abel's proper sacrifice and rejected his improper sacrifice. So God says of Satan that he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Some months ago, while sitting and listening to a preacher on Sunday night, while we were studying Colossians, this came to my mind. Now, you don't need to turn there because it's my notes written across the top of the page. But I'm going to read them to you. The devil loves death, disease, depression, destruction, deception, deprivation, devouring, distractions, disasters, divisions, decadence, and you can add some more to that list. When I get stuck on a particular letter, I keep alliterating. But you get the idea. Those are all things that describe the devil, Satan. Now, let's finish real quickly. What are some other names? All right, we've already established he's a liar. And can we say that he's a sinner? Sure he is. He sinned from the very beginning. We read that over in 1 John 3. We learned that he is a wily serpent. We also learned from Revelation 12:3, he's the dragon. Now turn with me for my last one before I put it on the screen. I want you all ready to look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse... I'm going to start verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do. This is Paul writing to these Corinthians, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things with which they boast. In other words, there were those who were trying to get in on Paul's train and get credit for what Paul was doing and get the benefit of what Paul was teaching. And here's Paul's answer, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Remember I used that word deceitful in my list of things that the devil does? Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Folks, there are fakes, phonies, and frauds out there that are making a killing off Christianity. Be careful who you spend your time listening to and watching on television when it comes to preachers. There's some pretty slick ones out there. But they are not teaching the truth. And some of them are not even truly Christian. They're just doing what makes money for themselves. Just my warning. Let me move on. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Can I say that Satan is attractive? Don't people think of angels as beautiful? Number one, let me remind you, if they're beautiful blonde women, they're not angels. Angels are always male in the Bible. I'm not saying God doesn't have any feminine angels, but he never mentions it if he does. They're always masculine. They're always men. So all these pretty Christmas cards with all these beautiful blonde, blue-eyed women angels, they're the figment of somebody's wonderful imagination and artistic ability, but they are not biblically sound. Now Satan forms himself into an angel of light, verse 14. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, talking about human ministers, maybe? If his ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Remember, my friend, that Satan has lots of preachers out there around the world that are fakes, phonies, and frauds. Be careful. Be careful who you follow. And if you're not sure you're following somebody that's solid, sound, please talk to one of us preachers. We'll be glad to give you some clues. Now, there's some tremendous preachers out there on the radio. WPEL, WCII, Wolf, WOLF. Anybody listen to that station? That's out of Windsor. Can't remember the place, but I do know this. They are Calvary Satellite Network, CSN. And they came out of the Calvary Calvary Chapel denomination. And I listen to those guys quite a bit. Sometimes, I don't know if they still do, but they still play Adrian Rogers, who's long been with the Lord now, but what a tremendous preacher Adrian Rogers is. Southern Baptist, awesome dude. Dr. Graham, not Billy Graham, another Graham. Tremendous Jack Graham, great Bible teacher. These are all on CSN out of Windsor, and it's called WOLF. It's on 104.9. And 94.6 or something like that. But be careful who you listen to. Pick the guys that are good. You cannot lose with Charles Stanley, with David Jeremiah, with Chuck Swindoll, with Erwin Lutzer. My just warning to you is, the devil is a sly old fox. He is the source of all wickedness in this world. And one of these days, God is going to reach down and going to grab that guy by the nape of the neck and put him in the chimney of hell called the abyss, the smokestack of hell, I call it. And he's chained there. Now, the other two guys, the false prophet and the antichrist, those guys are being thrown right into the lake of fire. But Satan has a special place that God is going to hold him for almost 1,000 years. And then God's going to let him loose. And when God lets him loose, he's going to go out in the beautiful millennial kingdom that Christ has all over this earth, and he's going to find rebels, and he's going to stir up trouble, and he's going to charge the city of Jerusalem and the throne of God. And you all know what's going to happen then. It's all going to be over in a hurry. And this time he gets dropped all the way down in the lake of fire where the Bible says the false prophet and the antichrist are. So his end is coming. His doom is sure. But we are the children of God and heaven is our home. Amen? Father God, thank you so much tonight for the privilege of teaching your people your holy word. Help us to be equipped, help us to have our armor on, and to stand firm in the faith till Jesus calls us home. Bless your people, give them special time this week, in Jesus' name, amen.